Today we were talking about COVID-19 and detention centers. The New York Civil Liberties Union, along with the Prisoners Legal Services of New York, are suing ICE to enforce protective measures for medically at-risk people at Batavia Detention Facility here in New York. I'm joined by Bobby Hodgson, a staff attorney for the New York Civil Liberties Union, and welcome to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on the topic.
Before we go too far into this case, would you mind starting off talking about COVID-19 and how that is playing out in federal detention centers?
COVID-19 obviously is a pandemic that's affecting everyone, but in congregate settings like prisons and jails and ICE detention facilities, immigration detention facilities, these are places where, you know, social distancing is basically an oxymoron. You can't do it. Detained people are forced to share cells, toilets, sinks, dining areas. Just by the nature of how they're structured, there are places where social distancing is often impossible. And because of that, they've become tinderboxes where COVID-19 can catch and spread like wildfire and affect, you know, hundreds of people very, very quickly. And this affects people who are in detention. This affects staff. This affects the surrounding community. It can overwhelm local hospitals. So this is an issue that's affecting a large number of people. And it's because of the nature of what detention facilities are, because of the way they're set up, but also because of their historical, you know, lack of adequate medical care and sanitation. And conditions that are otherwise making people even more susceptible to catching COVID-19.
Thanks for that. According to a May 15th article in the New York Times, ICE has released about 900 people since March, putting the number of folks detained down. But there's still some, 30,000 people nationwide that are being held in federal detention centers. Last week, you filed a federal class action lawsuit against ICE officials at the Buffalo Federal Detention Facility here in Batavia, New York. Can you tell us about that lawsuit?
So as you said, the Buffalo Federal Detention Facility is a large ICE-run detention facility in the middle of upstate New York. Hundreds of people, over 300 people right now, are held there while their immigration proceedings are moving forward. And what's happened is over the course of the last about month and a half, there's been a spike in cases of COVID. There was an initial lawsuit that our colleagues at Prisoners Legal Services of New York filed on behalf of about 20 people. And these are people who have specific conditions or characteristics that make them particularly vulnerable to COVID-19 if they were to catch it. People who are older, people who have underlying conditions like diabetes or autoimmune deficiencies. So these are people who, if they were to catch COVID, were in a particularly dire position and at risk to develop serious illness or die. And over the course of this initial lawsuit, Batavia went from having zero confirmed cases to having about 50 confirmed cases. And this was about over 2 weeks. So you saw this wild spike in infections. And as a result, our lawsuit is seeking a set of protective measures taken to try and protect people from catching COVID-19, if at all possible, while they're remaming in detention. There was, as I said, this initial lawsuit on behalf of a number of people.
Was that
and
Jones
recognizing
versus
the danger
Wolf?
That they were. This is Jones versus Wolf. And they went into federal court, and the court in early April recognized that people who are medically vulnerable, as described by the CDC's own guidelines, and it is constitutionally mandated that the government take all necessary measures to protect them from catching COVID-19 or from being at heightened risk. And so way back at the beginning of April, the judge recognized that the Constitution mandates these protective measures, and that if ICE can't provide them, ICE has to release people. These are civil immigration detainees. These are people who are just being held so that their immigration proceedings can move forward. And so because the government's interest in holding them is outweighed severely by the risk that these people face of illness or even death in detention, The Constitution says you absolutely cannot be holding people in these dangerous conditions. Again, way back in early April, the court ordered that those people who had brought that lawsuit, as I said, about 20 people, those who are medically vulnerable are entitled to certain social distancing measures. So they ordered the facility at Batavia to do some very common sense things. This is about putting people in single occupancy housing, so they're not sharing a bunk with someone else, allowing people to maintain 6 feet of distance between them and someone else, allowing them to take their meals in their cell if they choose. And this is about ensuring they have basic ready access to things like soap. This was something that didn't exist at Batavia before this. People were running out of soap and didn't have access to cleaning supplies. It also requires that staff who come into contact with medically vulnerable people wear protective gear. So you might think, you know, these are very basic things that ICE already should have been doing, and that's absolutely the case. In fact, we, the NYCLU and Prisoners Legal Services of New York, had sent Batavia officials a letter way back in early March as this COVID situation was developing, outlining the types of measures that ICE needed to be taking and demanding that they tell us what they were doing, that they inform people who were held in detention there of the threat of COVID and the types of measures that they intended to take. ICE ignored that request. ICE did not take any of the measures. A lawsuit was filed. By early April, a judge had ordered it as to the people who originally brought that lawsuit. Now, again, you might think ICE would recognize that a judge has now said it's constitutionally mandated that you provide a medically vulnerable person with certain minimal protections to try and lessen their risk of catching COVID-19. You would think that ICE would apply that to all similarly situated people in the same situation. So not just the folks who brought the lawsuit themselves individually, but anyone else who met the same criteria, which, as the judge articulated it, was simply listed by the CDC. These are people who meet a certain set of guidelines, who are 65 or older, have an underlying condition that makes them medically vulnerable. ICE didn't do that. Again, we sent a demand letter very clearly articulating the legal responsibility that ICE has to these people and the fact that it is absolutely illogical for a handful of folks who were able to find a lawyer to bring a lawsuit on their behalf to get such protections when, you know, potentially over 100 other people are in the same position. And the only entity that has the ability to identify those people is ICE itself. We don't know who they are. ICE has to have the responsibility to find them and then provide the same protections to them. So this is a long way of saying our lawsuit, which we never should have had to file, is a class action that simply says you need to treat everyone in the same position the same and provide the same protections to them that a judge has already ordered. You know you're under a responsibility to do this, and you're simply not doing it. One final sort of ridiculous and infuriating detail is that there is a separate court order in effect from a lawsuit that came about actually in California, but that applies nationwide. And it applies to ICE. And in that court order, a judge again recognized ICE's failings in terms of identifying medically vulnerable people and providing protections to them, and ordered ICE nationwide to identify every single person who met those CDC vulnerability criteria and get back to the court within 10 days and say, we found every single person and located them and are taking measures. Officials at Batavia were actually already under a court order to be locating these very people. And we were simply saying, once you found them, you need to apply the protections that this judge has ordered and has recognized are mandated by the Constitution. And ICE ignored that letter. And so we were forced to file this class action on behalf of all those people.
Thank you, Bobby, for explaining that. What do you hope this class action will now accomplish that those other communications could not?
Well, now we want a court order and we want it fast. This is the only thing that ICE appears to be responding to, which is when a court says you have to do this. So now we have a hearing scheduled for next week where a judge will hear our initial presentation on this case. We're seeking a preliminary injunction, which is a type of expedited relief where, you know, essentially we show that there's an emergency situation and that ICE needs to respond to it as quickly as possible.
Is there anything that our audience or the general population can do to apply pressure?
Certainly. I mean, the more the public knows about this, the more people are rightly enraged. And I think that, you know, reaching out to your representatives, reaching out to political officials, spreading the word about what's happening and what this is. I think that's really important. I think this is these are cases that are not going away. These are issues that are not just happening in Batavia. This is happening. There are detention facilities across this country. There are federal officials who are putting pressure on ICE, who are writing letters, who are seeking answers when ICE is not responding. The House Oversight Committee wrote a letter to ICE highlighting the fact that 3 people have died at this point, that ICE has absolutely failed to take COVID-19 seriously. And putting that type of pressure on ICE, unfortunately, sometimes is the only thing that works. So the pressure needs to come from all sides. We're here bringing lawsuits. It's not just us. These are lawsuits brought by the ACLU and by other organizations and individuals around the country.